Praise God. It's good to be together.
Amen.
On Mother's Day. Before I start with the message today, I just want to remind the church of a preach that I did last month, which was about change the way you think. Anybody remember? Change the way you think. It's about the renewing of the mind. And I want to invite us today to change the way that we think as we hear the Word of God. The Word today is very simple and easy to grasp, but I'm challenging us to embrace it in a new way that it may sink in and renew the way that we think. That message last month, basically in summary, says, based on the Word of God, you cannot change your heart. And God won't change your mind. But if you change your thoughts, if you change the way you think, God then will come and change your heart. Do you see how that works? Because he's given us a free will. So it's for us to choose to change the way we think and align our thinking with the Word of God. And that is how Holy Spirit will come, and then our hearts will start to change. So we have to be set and choose our will to say, I'm going to start to change the way I think. I'm going to align my thinking with the Word of God. I'm not going to base my thinking on history. I'm basing it on what the Word of God says. So, the message this morning is Holy Spirit, the Helper. Holy Spirit, the Helper. I find it so amazing, so wonderful, so incomprehensible that Holy Spirit would want to be my helper. Because in this world, the helper is the minor one. Right? We say to our children, come and help mommy do the dishes. Come help daddy tidy the garden, whatever. And so in our mind, we always think of the helper as minor. And here we have the Holy Spirit. We will show you in scripture. You know it already. But the scripture tells us he is the helper. The helper. This is the Word of God. This needs to become so real in us that it changes the way that we think, and it starts to change our action and the way that we live. We're looking in John 14, starting from verse 12. You're familiar with these words, but today, let's embrace the Word of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Anyone here believe in Jesus? Put your hand up. You believe in Jesus? Put your hand up if you believe in Jesus. This word is for you. This word is for me. That's what it says. He who believes in me, the work that I do. And it says he, it could be she as well. He or she will do also. We are all included. Why? Because we are all sons of God and we are all the bride of Christ. So it's nothing to do with gender. We are God's children. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. You think, wow, how can this be? Wow. Because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father. Jesus says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Wow, amazing words, isn't it? Amazing words. Because I go to the Father and he will give you another helper. This is what the Lord says here. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, if we walk in obedience to the Word of God, we are walking in obedience to the Scriptures, we are following the instruction. This is what he says. It doesn't say, or maybe, or perhaps, or sometimes. It says, most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. It's a definite thing. It's a definite thing. When I was preparing for this message, I made a little, you could call it a mistake, by opening up a commentary. And this commentary, and I'm mentioning it because there's a lot of teaching like this out there. And the commentary goes along the lines, well, I've done a lot of prayer and they've not been answered. You know, history shows us that we don't really do the works of Jesus, In other words, they are basing what they believe on based on what they have experienced. Or more correctly, what they have not experienced. That is not the renewing of the mind. That is not scriptural. God says what he means, and he means what he says. He would not say to us, most assuredly you will do. He would not say that if it is not true, and if it's not for you and me. It is for you. It is for me. We must not limit our thinking based on what you saw in previous years. That is not the scripture. Those that train for the Olympics, say they are runners. Do you think they go and they compare themselves with the elderly neighbor that can hardly walk the stairs? No way. If you're training for the Olympics, you find the world record. And then you say to yourself, so-and-so managed to run in so many seconds. That tells me it's possible. So pick up your Bible and read the book of Acts. And that tells us this word is possible because the first church lived like this and is recorded with many eyewitnesses. The first church lived this word. We can do it. Even more we can do it because God is pouring out his Spirit these days. God is pouring out his Spirit. And so, these words are true for us today. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. I've got to change the way I think. So when we are out on the street and we share the gospel, we remember this word. And so if there's a need, we pray and we know that God hears our prayer. When we preach the gospel, we know the Holy Spirit is working on the person's life. You look them in the eye and you see God is working. Because God is much more interested in that person's salvation than you and I could ever be. He is so interested that Jesus died for that person. He made the ultimate sacrifice. But he jumped down to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. Do you see that actually the Christian life is easy? Because of the Helper, because of Holy Spirit. If you think, I wouldn't know what to say when I speak to somebody, he will help you. He will bring to your remembrance. He will teach you all things. This is what we see. Holy Spirit is working on his people. And people come to Christ. Holy Spirit comes and live on the inside. Transformation starts to happen. I'm reminded of a friend of mine. Her name was Donna. And she married somebody from Singapore. He came here to study. He became born again. They got married. And then she moved out of Singapore. She'd never ever been in the Far East ever, whole life. So this was a huge culture shock for her. And the whole family, none of them were Christians. His family came from a particular area of China, and they were not educated people, and they had all of the idols. And life was tough for her. She said they would be invited for meals, and after that, Ethan, they would be saying, ha, 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 that food had been offered to idols. You know, they would just like to try and just upset her. So life was not easy. But here she was, and she's praying for her in-laws, and she's praying for in-laws, and she's praying for in-laws, and the years go on. They're getting very elderly. And then one day, when I was on the phone with her, she said, it's happened. They got born again. She said, there was very few people. She couldn't communicate too well because although she learned Mandarin, they were speaking another Chinese dialect that she didn't speak. But she said, somebody came to Singapore who spoke the very language that they spoke, and they went to the house, preached the gospel to them, and they accepted Jesus. So when you accept Jesus, Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside. So can just think about this girl, Donna, right? Now she's thinking, I'm going to have to tell them these various idols they have in the house, they're going to have to go. How am I going to say that to them? Because she knew what they were like. But she said, I came to the house. The idols had all gone. They had all gone. Why? Because Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So in some parts of the world, they don't have Bible schools. They don't have lots of Bible teachers. But if someone commits themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes inside and will teach you all things. Amen. Just about a week ago, some of us were at a funeral, a dear sister that attended this church. I think it was Jan and myself. When this sister was starting to show a more interest in the gospel, we would go to her house. And so she was born again. And then when we went to the house, we had in our heads a few things from past life that we felt would be good to advise her on based on scripture. And so when you do that, you're always kind of thinking, you know, praying, how can you say this? You don't want to offend people, but you need to preach the gospel. We arrived. And then as we started the conversation and we started the prayer, we found out she already knew. She said, this, and this from my past life. She said, that all has to go. It's all going in the bin. That is past. She already knew. Although she wasn't deep in the Word, she already knew. Why? Because of Holy Spirit. Because of Holy Spirit. Today we have a dear sister with us from Iran, which is wonderful. I read a book called The Forgotten Manifesto on Jesus, which is a description of how the Christians in Iran witness and how they have this phenomenal growth. I shared about it in previous years, but I just want to remind you because it is actually confirming the words that we have just read, how the Holy Spirit works, even in very, very difficult environment. As you know, there are certain parts of the world where you cannot just go and openly talk about the name of Jesus, and Iran is one of those places. So the way that they do it is based on Luke chapter 10, if you could show that, Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 1, we're just going to read verse 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send his laborers into his harvest." So here we have 70 people being appointed and being sent out two by two. We don't know their names because they are just ordinary people, ordinary believers. So that could be you and me. Do you agree? Just ordinary followers of Jesus. They are just ordinary, unnamed, ordinary, but powerful in the Holy Spirit. That could be us. What they did was, this is therefore pray. They would start, so this is how they evangelize. Pray, they pray first. This is always a number one step, isn't it? To pray. Because there's many people out there, which is the one to reach? Which is the one that needs a touch from God? So we pray. Pray, it's me, we're listening to Holy Spirit. That's what we as a church, you know, we do teaching on the prophetic because we need to hear what he's saying. It's not difficult. Peter Barnes, who was a prophet that used to visit this church many years ago, his wife said, do you know how he ended up in the prophetic ministry? She said, he kept making a mess of so many things. So his wife said, God, could you not just give him an easy job? Just give him an easy job. So she said he became a prophet because all he has to do is hear what the Holy Spirit says and repeat it. That's it. So that's how he became. So we need to know to hear Holy Spirit, and we're living and we're walking with him. He will speak to us and direct us all the time. And we get to recognize his voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So first you pray, and then you're led to go. That's the first thing, prayer. The second weapon that they use in the Forgotten Manifesto of Jesus and is used in places like Iran, the second point is weakness is our super weapon. Because in verse 3 it says, go your way, behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. It means the person who's going on behalf of the Lord is just like a little person. It's not a significant person. It's a weak person. We might feel weak. I might feel I've got a sore hip today. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So when we go out, God uses us ordinary people, unnamed people, weak people. The next point is stripped down to size, because it said carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals, greet no one on the way. Meaning you just go, you're stripped down, you're not going with a lot of things, you're not going out and saying, you know, I have a degree in theology and I can do this. No. You just go. An unnamed person in weakness, stripped down. And then the next point is that they use is, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. In other words, you're looking for people of peace. So this is how they do the evangelism in Iran. This is how they do it in many of the kind of close countries. The Christians go, they pray, and they look for people of peace. People of peace. So these will be people that are searching for truth. They're not looking for war, as it were. They're looking for peace, and they're looking for truth. And most likely, they will be quite influential. They will have a circle of influence. They are the people to engage with. Now, to find the people of peace, you have to speak to a lot of people before you find those that are the people of peace. But that's how they reach a person of peace, and then they start a Bible study with them, and they start from Genesis chapter 1, read all the way through. These people then, eventually, as they get into the New Testament, and they learn about Jesus, most of the time they become born again. As soon as they become born again and they get baptized in the water, they become now in church. Just like that. They don't send them to Bible school because of the circumstances there. But my point is, these people and that church is growing phenomenally. Why? Because they have the Word of God and they have Holy Spirit inside of them once they're born again. We think, oh, we should be sending them our books, and there's lots of good things you can do to help. But actually, if you've got the Word of God and you've got the Holy Spirit, you're set to go. That's what the Word of God teaches us. Because the Word of God is powerful, and the Holy Spirit is this amazing helper. Amazing helper. It's a bit different from the way we do it in the West, isn't it? And it's not to say the way we are doing it is necessarily wrong, but it certainly challenged me when I was reading about it. And I think that it stresses to us just how powerful the Word of God is and how powerful Holy Spirit the Helper is. That He will teach these people. He will teach these people through the Word. What has that got to do with the UK? In the UK at the moment, 50% of people that get born again, but not in the church. So how do you think they get born again? Well, you know there's an increase in the sale of Bibles. That's a fact, especially amongst young people. And there's a lot of young people that are coming to the Lord. So they get the Bible, they are reading, Holy Spirit convicts them, they get born again. And then at some point they go, oh, I wonder what church I could go to. So that tells us the power of the Word of God and Holy Spirit the Helper. That's what's happened to our dear caretaker here. Born again at home by reading scripture. Yes, God is doing it. Yes, Holy Spirit is the helper. In the Talking Jesus research, that shows, and this is for the UK, 1 in 5 non-Christians, after having a conversation with a Christian, say they're open to have an encounter with Jesus. 1 in 5. That is really good news for us. 1 in 5. After conversations, they are open to have an encounter with Jesus. 1 in 5. So when you talk to people, just if you speak to 5, there's somebody there that wants to have an encounter with Jesus. And the wonderful thing about Holy Spirit is He is real. Okay, we don't see Him with our eyes, but He's real and we can encounter God. This is not a dead, theological, just words. Christianity is real, you experience it. Look at the day of Pentecost, my goodness. People thought they were drunk. Why? Because they just didn't care what people thought about them. They were so full of the Spirit. They were changed by the Holy Spirit. We can encounter, people can encounter and experience for themselves. And we can encounter. There's always more. That word helper in the Greek could be translated to as an advisor, a legal defender, a mediator, an intercessor, a strengthener. King James uses the word comforter, help and strength. It's like having Jesus right beside you all the time. But Jesus did say it's for your benefit. Why? Because when Jesus walked on this earth, he was not omnipresent, right? He was one person here. And now, having sent the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. And then the scripture tells us, be ye being filled. So the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, but we as believers need to, it's a tap. It's a tap. You need to keep the tap open. We need to keep being filled. We need to stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Then we will do these same works that Jesus did. And he says, you will do even greater. Yes, it is for you. It is for me. That word helper reminds me also of Genesis 2:18, if you show that, Daniel. Remember when after God had made Adam, he said, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him, like a partner. Now, you have a business and you're looking for a business partner. We always look for to bring somebody on board with us that can cover our weaknesses, right? When I was in business and I was hiring for my team, I would think, okay, which areas am I not so good at myself? And that is the skill I want to bring on board. There's no point in having another one on me. It's better to have somebody that is good at the things that I can't do. And so when you bring in a team, you know, you're looking for a business partner that can cover you. The greatest partner we have is Holy Spirit. He is the helper and he knows all things. He knows all things. It is so amazing. Let's look at John 16, verses 7 to 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So Holy Spirit is our helper. He convicts of sin. Convicts of sin. Conviction is different from condemnation. Because we are in Christ Jesus, there's no more condemnation for us. But the enemy, we know from Revelation 12:10, that the enemy, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. Condemnation is of the enemy. Conviction is of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is constantly nudging us. Holy Spirit is constantly working on us. He will not overrule us, but he will direct us. Conviction is specific. So, Holy Spirit might come and say to you, your words to your spouse just now were too harsh, too harsh. That is a specific thing because the words that came out that were harsh. And it doesn't please Holy Spirit for us to be like that. So then we would get a little conviction by the Holy Spirit in our heart. Now, if it was condemnation, it would be general. The enemy will come and say to you, you are a useless husband. You are a useless wife. You. Who do you think you are? You see, Holy Spirit doesn't speak like that. No, the Holy Spirit just says, what you just spoke, what you just spoke. So we're learning to hear Holy Spirit, and we need to hear for our own conviction and correction, so that we can go, yeah, I feel, sense something in my heart that's not quite right in that little area, you see? And then we say, forgive me, God, forgive me. To get Holy Spirit to come that we may deal with it. So Holy Spirit conviction is specific behavior that needs to be addressed. While the enemy is attacking our identity, the enemy says, you are useless. Holy Spirit never says that to us. Holy Spirit always brings hope and always brings redemption. He always has a way of escape. He will tell us how we can make something right, which path to take to make something right. And we have to embrace that. I remember one day our daughter phoned me and she said, Mom, so-and-so, a relative, said to me that you had said so many years ago that so-and-so was a useless person. And she says it really hurt her, and I was going, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, I can't remember this. But then, as I started, then I realized, oh, I think I did say that. I said, thank you. It's not really very nice to do, but I have to do it. Pick up the phone this relative and say, please forgive me for saying those words. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. She said, yeah, it really did hurt me. I had to apologize. We have to listen to the prompt of the Holy Spirit. We have to do it. We must humble ourselves because we make mistakes. We need to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit will speak to you and I specific. He didn't say to me, oh, that I was useless. It was that one incident I had to correct. You see? Holy Spirit will say, but you're a child of God. So this is not the character of a child of God. The enemy will say, you are a terrible sinner. See, I told you you're a terrible sinner. That is the word of the enemy. The Holy Spirit comes and says, there's hope, change is imminent, take this step, restore the relationship. She forgave me, we carried on. It was good. So, the conviction of the Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. When we repent, God forgives and we grow. The condemnation from the enemy will lead to remorse. It will bring guilt and shame and regret. It is not the will of the Father for you to live in regret. It is the will of the Father for you to repent. Then he picks you up. Because when we repent, he forgives. And then we can move on. And we don't need to live in regret. Because our future is actually determined by what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus has paid the price, the cross is so powerful. So let's walk in the spirit of repentance, hearing the conviction of Holy Spirit, that we may fulfill the words of Jesus and do the same works that he did. Romans 8:26-27, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:10-11, it says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See how amazing Holy Spirit is. He's our teacher, he's our guide, he's our comforter, he's our helper, he's our intercessor, he's our strengthener. He reminds us, he partners with us, he becomes our best friend. Let us acknowledge him in all of our ways. Let's communicate and trust him and obey him. Start in the small. After one of the women's meetings, we got a little bit of a panic phone call. I can't find my mobile. Something like that, just an everyday thing. This is a good way to start, to say, pray to the Lord, ask him to show. Holy Spirit, can you tell me? So we go and we pray, and then another text message, mobile phone found. See, in everyday life, he's interested in your everyday life. He's interested in mine. Start with the small things. And then, how much you think, wow, he moves so fast. When you pray and when I pray, and there's nobody else's will involved, it moves fast. Now, when we're praying for people to get saved, remember there's another person's will involved and God doesn't overrule that. So you know God is hearing you, but if he's working behind the scenes, and sometimes it takes time. But you know God is working. Because when you pray for something like that, it's instant. Because Father is a good Father. If your children came to you and said, I can't find my favorite doll, you would help them. You wouldn't say, go away. It doesn't matter that it's trivial. You take care of your children. How much more does a Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, he is our helper. So what are the steps? Be born of the Spirit, get born again. Then get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've not received your prayer language yet, we would be delighted to pray with you. You can receive today. Very often we read of Paul, he laid hands on them and then they received. So that's how we do that here in the church. If you've not received, it's for you. The gift is for you. In fact, Jesus said, you've got to wait until you get it because we need it. Then we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Then we can be used by the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit should lead to friendship with the Holy Spirit. Friendship is being obedient to the voice of the Lord, knowing the scriptures, hearing the Holy Spirit prompting. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit requires our obedience. It requires our obedience. Holy Spirit, he's very sensitive. I'll finish with this. He's very sensitive. He doesn't announce if he's going to leave. Remember the story about Samson? He didn't realize that the Spirit had left him. But he had deviated from the law of God. He wasn't obedient. So if we deviate and don't stay in obedience to the commandments of Jesus, he will withdraw. So that's why we need to walk in that obedience, have that fellowship. And when we fall, if we fall, quickly repent and come back. Because he's very sensitive. But he is the most amazing helper. So Father God, we give you thanks today. Thank you, Father, that you sent the Spirit, your Holy Spirit to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, we honor you, that you live in us, that you flow through us, that you are teaching us, that you are helping us. We so appreciate you. Have your full way through us this day, every day. We give you thanks in the powerful name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Marisa.